Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have Megan Woodall with us. Megan is an animal keeper here at Blank Park Zoo who works specifically with our great cats. And you may have heard in the news recently, we have had lion cubs. So Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
To get started, first, we're going to talk a little bit about conservation at Blank Park Zoo. And when you come to the zoo, you may not always know about what we do behind the scenes to promote conservation. And one of the things that we do is, first off, is when you pay your admission to Blank Park Zoo, a percentage goes to help save animals in the wild. So just coming to Blank Park Zoo, buying a toy in the gift shop, or eating lunch at the grill, or riding the train, you're helping to save animals in the wild. So that's a really cool thing we do about conservation. We also support, with that money, we also support several organizations that are in the field working to save animals. And one of the things that we do is we send people out to the field that are specialists in an area. So people that work at the zoo, and they go, maybe they've gone to Madagascar or Uganda, Rwanda, places like that, and they'll work with wild animals and how conservation save the animals. And a lot of times it's working with people and the specific issues that come up between human-animal conflict. So that's really cool stuff we do here at Blank Park Zoo, and you can learn all about that at blankparkzoo.com. There's a conservation tab, and you can click on that, and you can learn all about the different projects. And, of course, we have the Plant Grow Fly project at Blank Park Zoo, which is helping to reestablish the monarch butterfly simply by having a small garden in your backyard. So you can learn how to do that and how to plant the garden and all that at blankparkzoo.com. So, Megan, tell us a little bit about your background, first of all.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Columbia, South Carolina, so I'm a good bit ways from home, but this is my first full-time job. I've had 3 internships before this job, so I worked at my hometown zoo as an animal care intern, and then I went on to work at a sanctuary in Texas as an animal care intern, and then was a conservation education intern at a wildlife center in Texas as well.
So what really inspired you to get started in the zoo business?
Yeah, so I've always had pets growing up, was always fascinated with specifically cats. I hate to sound cliche, but I think Lion King had a lot to do with my childhood, and so that kind of sparked my interest in all of the big cats. Around 7th grade, I took an aptitude test, and it told me to be a zoologist, so decided to run with that and keep pursuing my passion. I've always been very passionate about animals, so this was definitely the career for me.
Well, you talk about Lion King, and I wish before we had the Lion Cubs, I would have rewatched the Lion King, because everyone, when we announced and put photos on our Facebook page, were making these Lion King references, and it's just been long enough that I couldn't remember, like, okay, I know this is from the Lion King, but I can't come up with a witty response to it. And so I was like, oh, I should have watched the Lion King before announcing.
Yeah, I'm sure people are going to try and put in some Lion King names for naming the cubs. I'm sure we'll see a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what happened. I mean, Deuce came to Blank Park Zoo. I'll set up the background because you've been here a year, and I've been here a little bit longer than that. So we had 3 lions at Blank Park Zoo, and they were Cha-Cha and Falala and Gavivi. And unfortunately, they were older lions, and they all 3 got sick and at separate times, and they all had cancer, and they all passed away. And that was sad. And Cha-Cha passed away first. And so I believe in 2012, we brought in Deuce from Wisconsin. And the lions that we had had previously were from situations where they were not in professional zoos before they came to Blank Park Zoo, and a couple of them had been rescued from a bad situation, we hear, and then so we didn't know their genetics, and we weren't allowed to breed them. So they were great display animals, and we love Cha-Cha and Gavivi and Falala, but they were never going to have babies, and the species survival plan wouldn't allow that. So when we had a chance to bring in new animals, we wanted to be part of the species survival plan. And the SSP is what determines the animals' genetics and what animals go to what zoos in the United States. We don't own the animals. We own them all collectively. So we didn't buy Deuce. The SSP determined that he should come to Blank Park Zoo. So that's where we were. And then, Megan, you arrived about a year ago, or maybe a little longer now. And fill in the rest of the story for us.
Yeah, so we got our two females, Katie and Nima, down to holding in about April. So we started off, you know, doing sensory introductions first, getting them comfortable in the space where they could smell Deuce, they could hear Deuce, but they couldn't quite see him. And so as they got more comfortable, not only with inside holding, but with the exhibit, we went towards actual visual introductions. So that was not where they could interact physically, but where they could just see each other from a distance safely and get used to that visual. And then from there, we moved towards physical introductions where the hope was to have them breed. And so Nima was one of the first ones that kind of was our priority in breeding. Just dispositionally, she would be a better match for Deuce. So we actually used birth control on Katie just because their genetics are so similar. There was really no need to have that many cubs at our facility. So we decided to move forward with introductions with Nima and Deuce, and it was very successful. And then once they kind of became a pair, we moved Katie back in to that to make our pride of three.
Yeah, and people might say, you know, well, we hear lions are endangered or vulnerable. They are on the endangered species list, but the IUCN Red List lists them as vulnerable. So there's a little bit of distinction there. But one of the things is, well, you should have lots and lots of babies all the time. Well, we can't do that because the main reason is there's not enough spaces in zoos to be able to have all those animals. So we got to match the number of babies with the number of spaces available.
Yeah, exactly. And even our facility, I don't think we probably would have had room for 10 cubs here at Blank Park Zoo. So it all kind of goes into, you know, what's going to be best for that pride.
Yeah, okay, so we bring those animals in, and we decide that Nima is a better fit for Deuce, and I guess love was in the air, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, intros were kind of slow. I would say the first couple of days, they were both kind of just feeling each other out and, you know, kind of on tiptoes with each other. But finally they started, you know, sharing more space together, getting comfortable with each other. And then not too long after, breeding occurred. And, you know, once that happened, they were fairly comfortable around each other and proceeded to breed multiple times.
Okay, so and then how long is a pregnancy for lions?
Yeah, so pregnancy is typically around 105 to 110 days, so about 3 to 4 months.
Okay, and so what did you do to prepare? I mean, it's sort of interesting from a non-zookeeper's perspective that there's actually a lot of preparation that went into place just when we suspected that Nima was pregnant.
Yeah, so everything from logging behaviors, logging diet changes in our records, just observing her behavior. One of the main indicators of pregnancy in lions is a lack of an estrus cycle. So they'll stop going into heat. And that was one of the key indicators that we saw with Nima that kind of led us to suspect she was possibly pregnant. And then about mid-August, we started seeing some weight gain. So that's obviously another sign, but it can be difficult to diagnose pregnancy in lions just because the only definitive way is through an ultrasound. And our animals don't have the setup to where an ultrasound could be safe for us to do with them. They're not trained in a behavior that could allow us to do that. So we were kind of unsure for a while, but as she got closer and closer, she started gaining more weight, kept not going into estrus. So we definitely had a pretty good hunch she was pregnant.
Talk a little bit about, expand on what you said about how you deal with lions at Blank Park Zoo, how we deal with dangerous animals. You never go in with the animals. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so obviously lions are considered a dangerous animal. So they're a protected contact species. So that means that we are never going to share a space with that animal. Any interaction we do have with that animal, there is mesh between keeper and animal, and our body parts never enter that mesh. So we can feed through mesh, but we typically use tongs. We can spray things like milk through mesh, and that's how we train those cats. But again, we're never going to enter that space with them. Just obviously to keep ourselves safe, but we don't want to invade their space either. So,
talk a little bit about training. I mean, when you hear the word training, sometimes that can evoke negative feelings, but that's never what happens here. It's always a positive thing with the animal.
Yeah, so training is always that animal's choice. We are never going to force them to train, and there are days when some cats don't want to train. However, our lions tend to be very food motivated, so if we offer them a good reward, they're most likely eager to work with us. Most of what we train are called husbandry behaviors, so things that can kind of make their lives as well as our lives easier. So coming up to us, laying down, sitting up, standing all the way up, these all allow us to get really good looks at their body and are able to assess their health. You know, if anything was up, we would notice. But also things like training for hand injections is really important, because when the time comes that we need to do a physical exam, the hand inject behavior is really lessens the stress for that animal as well as staff. So all that we do is really helpful to them as well as helpful to staff. And training just serves as a form of enrichment and keeps them mentally stimulated and engaged, as well as strengthens that keeper and animal bond, which is really important.
All right. So let's go back to the storyline now. And you think it's August, September, and you think that Nima's pregnant. What are some of the steps you have to do? Like, you brought in the veterinarians, obviously, and you came up with plans.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so since this was our first litter in probably over 30 years here at Blank Park Zoo, we wanted to make sure that protocols were in place as to if this happens, this is what we'll do. So a huge preparation we had to undergo was writing a birthing manual for our lions. And so that basically just explains kind of the history of the pair and kind of our plans as to what raising these cubs looks like. So things from lists of necessary materials and having all of that in holding, and going through a decision tree of, you know, what's best to do with these cubs, as well as a notification plan. Who are we going to tell in what order? So all of these things had to be worked through with keeper staff and vet staff, as well as management staff, just to make sure that everyone was on the same page and that we all agreed on what was to be done in the coming days. But also things like making a cubbing den is something that we needed to prepare for. So a cubbing den or a maternity den is just to help that animal feel more safe and secure when they are giving birth. And so Nima can be a very destructive animal. We did make a wooden box in hopes that that would kind of keep the cubs close to her, that we could fill with hay and make that type of cubbing den. However, she does like to consume things, so we tried to give that to her, and she ate a piece of the wood very quickly, and obviously that's not something we want. So we decided to remove that, and instead we put up wooden shields over the entire den. So one den in holding is covered almost completely. There are very small little areas which keepers can check and make sure things are okay, but it's covered for the most part to help her feel secure and have that sense of privacy she needs.
Okay, so we get closer to birth. Tell us, we put a camera in the enclosure so we could monitor, and then that would keep people out of the building so she wouldn't be stressed out by the presence of people while she's having her cubs. So tell us about that morning when she had the cubs?
Yeah, so we had been monitoring overnight, every night at 11 and 3 a.m. to check if she was showing any signs of labor or if she was already going into labor. And so that evening, we didn't really see much at the 3 a.m. check. And I woke up that morning and decided, you know, hey, I'll check on her again. And I actually saw her mouth moving, but couldn't really see what she was doing. And then she turned over and I saw that there was a cub on the ground. And so very, very exciting. And I went through and notified the keeper staff and everyone that needed to know. And we all came into work early and kind of just watched from the remote camera because, again, we want her to feel safe and secure. So we did not want to be in the building with her. So we spent most of the day watching as her labor continued. And it was a very, very exciting time.
Yeah, and three cubs were born sort of, you know, in the first couple of hours. And then it took like a long break.
Yeah, there was about a four-hour gap between cub three and cub four. Before then, it was about 30 minutes between each cub. And then we really thought she was done after three. And then out pops a fourth and a fifth one. And so, yeah, that was a surprise to us, but obviously an exciting surprise.
Yeah. You know, it was a surprise, but it was also sort of sad because cub four and five didn't make it. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not necessarily abnormal for something like that to happen. Nima's a first-time mom. Five cubs, I would say, is a large litter. And so due to that large gap in labor, we weren't sure if that's what maybe caused them just failing to thrive. We're not quite sure of the cause of death, but Nima handled it very well. She grieved and she took time with them after they passed, and so she handled it very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a necropsy didn't reveal a cause of death, so the veterinarian said it was a failure to thrive. Okay, so we have three cubs now, and two females and one male. Tell us a little bit about them and, you know, how we're assisting them.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to have two girls and a boy. What we're doing now is we are continuing to work with Nima to build up that keeper animal relationship and build up that trust. And so what we're asking of her is to shift away from her cubs twice a day. And so we are feeding her in a separate pen, which we had been doing even before she gave birth to get her used to this process. And so we're feeding her in a separate pen. And when she moves over to eat, we will close that door and separate her from her cubs and go in and check on the cubs and weigh them, take temperatures, give fluids, possibly tube feed if necessary. These cubs were a little bit low in weight when they were born, and so we're kind of just trying to work them up as much as we can, and they're all on an upward trend, so that's very exciting. But right now, we're just kind of monitoring and assisting where we can, and obviously that separation time also gives us time to clean out that den, make sure everything's dry and clean in there. And then, you know, when Nima gives us signals that she's ready to be back with them, we will honor that as best we can.
And so the male we've been assisting feeding, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And as we go along, the male's getting bigger, right?
He is,
everything's,
yes.
Everything's doing good at this point, and we're very, very hopeful, but early on, we were saying that the male was in a guarded condition. Has that changed?
You know, I'm not sure. He's still very far behind in weight, and still far behind from his sisters. But he is gradually gaining more and more weight each day. And, you know, what we're looking for is a consistent weight gain of about 100 grams a day. And so the last few days, we have seen that. So we are very hopeful. But, you know, we can never say positively if he's done from that guarded condition or, you know, we're still monitoring. So,
okay. Well, that sounds like we're on a positive trend at least.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So where do we go from here? I mean, you know, obviously the public is very, very excited to see them. And when we've released pictures, everyone is just have fallen in love with these cubs. So unfortunately, or fortunately, I mean, it's good and bad, but they are not on public display right now. Tell us a little bit about that process that we have to go through before they can be seen by the public.
Yeah, so one of the major concerns is just the cubs' health. So we want to make sure that they're healthy enough. So right now they are undergoing a process of vaccinations to make sure that they are healthy enough to go out on exhibit and things like that, as well as we want to respect Nima's privacy. These cubs are only 3 weeks old, so they are still very small, and she's still very protective of them. So we just want to make sure that we're not introducing a ton of unfamiliar people at once. So we just want to make sure she feels secure enough in that space with these cubs to continue to be a great mother.
And so we think the vaccinations will take about 12 weeks if I remember right. And so it's going to be at least that long before the cubs can be seen on public display. But what we have done is we've taken that camera that we use to watch Nima give birth, and we've hooked up a television in the kiosk area of the Lions. And so when it's appropriate, we have that television on, and you can see them with Mom. And tell us now a little bit about Lions. I mean, you think tigers. Tigers are always active and always walking around compared to lions, right?
I mean, they both are. Depends on the time of day. I mean, most cats can sleep a very large amount of time during the day. So big cats can typically sleep 16 to 20 hours in the day. I would say that Misha may be a little bit more playful than the lions on exhibit. But again, it depends on their mood. Typically lions are social animals. So you'd expect to see groups of them versus other cats that may be solitary.
All right. And so what has changed in the, I guess, the lion building for you these days? How has this changed your daily routine?
Well, obviously, we've got three more animals to look after and check on. But again, the main concern down there is making sure that Nima feels safe and that Nima feels comfortable. So we try not to spend an excess amount of time in Lion Wing with her because we do want to give her that space and that feeling of safety. But it just means that Nima isn't going to be on exhibit until her cubs are ready for that stage. But again, it's just like we do every day, just building up those relationships with the animals and holding and building up that trust and, you know, making sure that the other animals feel comfortable throughout this transition as well. You know, Katie and Deuce aren't used to this process either. And so making sure that they get the time outside that they want or the time inside that they want. And so making sure that they are getting taken care of as well.
One of the most awesome experiences that I've had at the zoo is going into the lion building, sort of behind the scenes, and hearing Deuce roar inside. That's quite an experience, and it's really hard to describe, but it's like maybe if you were at a rock concert and you were standing right in front of the subwoofer, and it just sort of shakes your insides a little bit. You probably experience that almost on a daily basis, and do you ever get used to it?
Yes, I think you do. Our cats do like to surprise us and roar, especially when we are trying to have conversations in the building. But you know, lion roars can be heard for up to 5 miles. So if you think of that volume and that force behind that, that is very, very loud in such an enclosed area. But you know, it never gets old. It's a great sight to hear. And now on top of that, we've got little cub cries and cub noises to look forward to. So
they're really cute right now, but it's hard to believe Dr. Olds, our veterinarian, was telling us that within 12 weeks, we won't be going in with them anymore. They'll be considered dangerous animals. That's how fast they grow and how fast they can become dangerous.
Correct. Yeah. So these guys, between 3 and 5 months, you probably shouldn't be going in with them, depending on the rate that they're growing. Teeth are actually starting to erupt probably any day now. They've already got claws, and so if they wanted to, they could probably do some damage by that age. Right now, they put up as much fight as they can. They are feisty little ones, but they're still a size in which we can safely handle them. But once they grow up to be about 3 months, they're going to be a size in which they could not be handled very easily by us.
We have only a couple minutes left, and so we should talk about lions in their natural habitat. Could you take us through some of the facts and figures of lions and what they've gone through recently?
Yeah, so lion population in the wild has actually decreased by about 40% over the last 20 years. Now, lion numbers might be higher than other cats. You know, there are about 20,000 to 30,000 lions in the wild. However, if you think about that here in Iowa, that's about the population of Johnston. So think about that being the last humans for a population, that might be a concerning thought. And so they are on the decline. And so it's very important to spread awareness and to try and do what we can to help increase their population.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, just a few years ago, there were 100,000 lions, and now maybe 20 to 30,000. And that is the population of Johnston. I looked it up, 21,000 and some. And that's hard to believe that they can go away that quickly. And so zoos, the reason we have animals in zoos, and one of the reasons is, of course, they're ambassadors. When you come to the zoo, you can see the animal and then grow concern for the animal because of, you know, the loss of habitat and the loss of population. But the other reason is sort of as a genetic bank, if you will, in case the animals go away in the wild. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So that's kind of the idea behind these SSP or species survival plans, is to help build up this population in human care to be a genetically diverse and very viable population that if the case ever arose, that we could hopefully use these animals to possibly repopulate wild areas. And so that's why it's very important that these animals are genetically matched up to be very diverse, so we don't have bottlenecking or inbreeding here in this population in human care.
And so that's one of the reasons that when the lion cubs reach a certain age, they'll likely go to another zoo.
Yeah, so any animals moving is typically for breeding purposes, and so typically lions in the wild will move away from their parents and find their own pride at about 2, and so that's kind of the age that we look forward to in hopes of these lions moving to another facility and making families of their own.
Well, thanks so much, Megan, for joining us today. And that was fascinating to learn about our lions. And we hope you can come out and visit Blank Park Zoo just in, you know, several weeks, you know, maybe 2 months, maybe the end of January. I'm not really sure when they will. We'll be sure to let you know when the lions are available to be seen next year. And so thanks for joining us. If you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, go over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. You can learn all about our conservation programs on there, Plant, Grow, Fly, plus all our events coming up at Blank Park Zoo. We hold events all year long. And then coming up the first part of the year, we will have our conservation lecture series. And so that will be great information you can learn about people in the field protecting our planet. Well, we'll see you next time on Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.